Former U.S. President Donald Trump was shot during a campaign rally.
Take a look at what happened.
The bullet hit his ear, and then he was whisked off stage while the Secret Service killed the assailant. The former president's staff quickly issued a statement saying that he was fine. The assassination attempt was immediately condemned by U.S. President Joe Biden.
Look, there's no place in America for this kind of violence. It's sick. It's sick. It's one of the reasons why we have to unite this country.
What did people see at the rally? What's been the international reaction to the assassination attempt? And what impact will this have on U.S. politics ahead of the 2024 presidential election? From the Voice of America, this is a special edition of Flashpoint Global Crises. I'm Steve Miller. Saturday evening, former U.S. President Donald Trump was whisked off stage at a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, after apparent gunshots rang throughout the crowd.
And you know, that's a little bit old, that chart. That chart's a couple of months old. And if you want to really see something that said, take a look at what happened.
Trump was showing off a chart of border crossing numbers when bangs started ringing out. Trump could be seen reaching with his right hand toward his neck. He quickly ducked behind the podium as agents from his protective detail rushed on stage and screams were heard throughout the crowd. Moments later, he emerged surrounded by that protective detail, defiantly pumping his fist into the air, seeming to shout, "Fight!" The crowd cheered as Trump was escorted to safety. Early on Sunday, the FBI said it had identified 20-year-old Matthew Crooks as the subject involved in Saturday's assassination attempt on former U.S. President Donald Trump. The law enforcement agency said in a brief statement that Crooks was from Bethel Park, Pennsylvania. That's about an hour's drive from the site of the political rally where Trump was shot in the ear. The statement gave no further details about Crooks. Speaking to reporters on Saturday, Special Agent in charge of the FBI Pittsburgh field office, Kevin Rojek, gave an overview of the investigation's scope.
This evening we had what we're calling an assassination attempt against our former president, Donald Trump. It's still an active crime scene. As I mentioned, we have a number of agents on scene. We also are working closely with other federal agencies, our state partners, and our local police partners as well.
He also asked the public for help.
Anyone who was on scene, who saw anything, who identified any information, please report that to the FBI using either the phone number 1-800-CALL-FBI or online at fbi.gov/Butler.
In a statement that was issued later, Rojek said a motive had not yet been identified, but that investigators were working tirelessly to verify what it may be, adding that the investigation could take months. The event prompted President Joe Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris, and former President Barack Obama to issue strong statements condemning political violence. Speaking to the nation on Saturday, Biden said that there was no place in America for this kind of violence.
I've been thoroughly briefed by all the agencies in the federal government as to the situation, based on what we know now. I have tried to get a hold of Donald. He's with his doctors. Apparently he's doing well. I plan on talking to them shortly, I hope, when I get back to the telephone. Look, there's no place in America for this kind of violence. It's sick. It's sick. It's one of the reasons why we have to unite this country. We cannot allow for this to be happening. We cannot be like this. We cannot condone this. And I want to thank the Secret Service and all the agencies, including the state agencies, that have been engaged in making sure that the people who, and we have more detail to come relative to other people maybe injured in the audience. I don't have all that detail. We'll make that available to you. I may be able to come back a little later tonight, but we'll put out a statement if I'm not able to get, if it's not convenient for you all. But the bottom line is, The Trump rally was a rally that he should have been able to can be conducted peacefully without any problem. But the idea that there's political violence or violence in America like this is just unheard of. It's just not appropriate. And everybody must condemn it. Everybody. I'll keep you informed. And if I am able to speak to Donald, I'll let you know that as well. But so far, it appears he's doing well, number one. Number two, that they're thoroughly investigating what happened to anyone else in the audience. We have some reports, but not final reports. And every agency in the federal government, I'm going back to my phone to speak with the federal agencies that are being put together again to give me an updated briefing. Has anything happened? They learned any more in the last couple hours. So thank you very much, and I hope I get to speak to them tonight, and I'll get back to you if I do, okay? I don't know enough to. I have an opinion, but I don't have any facts. So I want to make sure we have all the facts before I make any more comments. Thank you.
Associated Press photojournalist Evan Vucci has spent years covering the former president, and he was on the ground with Trump in Pennsylvania at the rally. He recounts the moments the shots were fired.
So today I was photographing former President Trump at a campaign rally here in Butler, Pennsylvania. I was right in front of the stage, directly in front of the stage. It was a normal rally. I've done it hundreds of times. And over my left shoulder, I heard several pops. And I knew immediately it was gunfire. So I looked at the stage and I saw the Secret Service agents rushing to President Trump. From that moment, I ran to the stage and I started photographing the agents on top of them. And then off to my right, I saw the Secret Service counter-assault team arrive. And then I ran to the other side of the stage and they picked President Trump up. And then as he's walking down the ramp, he started fist bumping to the crowd and waving. I did notice he had blood coming down his face, as you can see in the photos. The agents took him down the ramp. And they put him into an SUV. And again, as he was getting into the SUV, he also started pumping his fist again. So I'm not sure how long it was from beginning to end, but in my mind, it all happened really fast. At the moment I heard the shots being fired, I knew that this was a moment in American history that had to be documented. I mean, it's our job as journalists to do this work.
So Rob Sharma, the president of the conservative nonprofit group American Movement, was also at the rally. He said Trump had been moving his head side to side as he was explaining that immigration chart. Sharma sets up the scene.
He gets on stage and I was standing right there, probably about 40 feet from him in the friends and family VIP section. And he gets on and within the first 5 or 6 minutes, he immediately begins telling a series of stories about this chart that he had brought on about immigration that had to do with the difference between President Biden's record in when it came to the border versus his. And thank God for that chart, because I think it's because of his head turning left and right as he was explaining the things that were on that chart that first bullet actually missed him. There is that picture of one of the bullets whizzing by his head that one of the New York Times reporters got. I think the only reason that he didn't get hit today is because that chart was on the television and he was turning his head.
Reaction to the attempted assassination attempt came quickly. Laura Baker is an alternate delegate from Tennessee. She spoke to VOA shortly after the attack. She's also in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where Trump is set to accept the Republican nomination for president when the party's national convention kicks off on Monday.
It's just shocking and heartbreaking, but it just speaks to his strength, how he wanted to tell the American people that he was okay and that we should keep fighting.
She also shared her views on what this may mean for American politics.
Well, I think that we need to lower the rhetoric and the anger. Why can't we just talk to each other? There is so much of everybody ramping and amping everything up. It's crazy.
Jim Hauser is a local resident, and he called the attack a travesty.
No one deserves to get shot. I mean, I don't know what happened, but the security wasn't that great if he got shot. It had to be something, a rifle or something, because two other people got injured. One's dead.
And are you concerned about the security now after what happens?
I think it's going to get worse than it is now. I mean, they're shutting down streets every hour. I mean, I don't know what they're going to... When he gets here, they're going to... Everything's going to be shut down, I'm afraid.
Internationally, world leaders condemn the attack.
Замах на життя Дональда Трампа.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky called the failed assassination attempt a heinous crime, one that can only be condemned. He said it highlighted the challenge to democracy and that violence must never prevail. Zelensky also wished for Trump's recovery and strength and support to all affected.
Я бажаю якнайшвидшого відновлення пану Трампу сил, підтримки усім.
In Australia, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese said that he was shocked by the attack.
In Australia, as in the United States, the essence and the purpose of our democracies is that we can express our views, debate our disagreements, and resolve our differences peacefully. We do so with respect for each other and in the spirit of a shared love of our country. Any act of violence is an affront to that and must be condemned unequivocally. This was an inexcusable attack on the democratic values that Australians and Americans share and the freedom that we treasure.
In addition to wishing Trump and his family well, Albanese added, quote, regardless of one's political views, there is no place for the events that we saw today, end quote. This is VOA News. You're listening to a special edition of Flashpoint Global Crises from the Voice of America. I'm Steve Miller. VOA Seoul Bureau Chief Bill Gallo spoke with Alex Gray, Chief of Staff in Trump's White House National Security Council on Saturday, about the shooting and what lies ahead during the RNC that kicks off on Monday, July 15th. They spoke over Zoom.
It was both a really terrible day for American democracy, but in a lot of ways was also a great day because it showed that, you know, as fragile as these systems and institutions are, because ultimately it's people who occupy these roles and people who can set out to do horrible things. And it's, you know, ultimately it's great institutions backed by very, just humans like anyone else. What we saw at the end of the day, and I think that iconic, what will become an iconic picture of President Trump pumping his fist as he was leaving the stage. I think whether you support President Trump or you don't support President Trump, I think what everyone should take away from that is that American democracy is a lot bigger and a lot more resilient than too many people give it credit for. We hear a lot of talk about President Trump supposedly being a threat to democracy. I think what we all need to take a step back from as a general matter is the rhetoric. We all need to take a really hard look. Both sides are guilty of over-the-top rhetoric. Everyone needs to take a step back and ask themselves, what are you doing through how you conduct yourself and how you speak to advance stable and resilient democratic institutions? And fortunately, when President Trump was able to walk off that stage and pump his fist, that was a really critical moment through one person's act of resilience in showing the world that American democracy is again, it's as strong only as the people who occupy the roles and the Americans who vote for it. But it was a really powerful moment of showing that our democracy is alive and well, and a lunatic can't take that from us.
The Republican National Convention is going to go ahead. I'm sure there will be lots of extra security. What do you sort of expect the focus to be during the Republican convention? And is there any apprehension, I think, among people who are going to be attending political events like this moving forward in such a, frankly, kind of scary environment?
Well, look, I'll be at the convention personally, and I can tell you, having been at a lot of events like this over the years, they're what are called national security special events, where the president or the former president or, you know, these type of the Super Bowl is another example, inaugurations, the State of the Union. These are all, you know, massive enterprises that require a lot of security from top to bottom. I have always felt incredibly safe going to every one of these types of things I've ever attended, because as everyone saw today with the men and women who put their bodies on the line to get President Trump safely out of that rally, those are the people who are going to be providing security, some of those exact same people. And so I have tremendous faith in them. I know some of them personally, some of the people whose faces have now been seen all over the world. I know some of those people very well. And I have great confidence that they and their colleagues are going to keep us all safe. But look, what I think this convention is going to very quickly, you know, it had themes. It was going to be day one was going to be one theme. Day two was going to be another theme. What I, you know, I have no insight into this, but what I really hope the convention turns into is an opportunity for the Republican Party and for President Trump to paint a very positive vision for what, you know, robust and durable democratic institutions look like. I mean, he is now the first American president since Ronald Reagan to have faced an assassin's bullet, and he is uniquely set up to make comments about the strength and resiliency and durability of our democracy in a way that no American president since Reagan is, because he survived. He put his life on the line to represent those ideals as a former president wanting to be a future president. And I hope we can really, in addition to the normal things that go on at conventions, I really hope we can make part of the discussion about a uplifting and unifying vision for what all Americans should agree on, which is that democracy is a lot bigger and a lot more important than you know, the lowest common denominator, than the people who would try and tear it down through violence and through acts of terrorism.
That was Alex Gray, the former chief of staff in Trump's White House National Security Council. He was speaking with my colleague in Seoul, South Korea, Bill Gallo. Now, for perspective on the potential impact on the 2024 presidential race, VOA Serbian reporter Marko Protic spoke with Jacob Ware, a research fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. He's also an expert for domestic and international terrorism and counterterrorism. They also spoke over Zoom.
There's an exceptionally dark day in America, an exceptionally dark day in our democracy. Possibly the most serious act of political violence that we've seen since 9/11, at least. We are talking about a serious, credible assassination threat on the former leader of the free world, who is actively campaigning for the presidency. This is a horrendous day in the history of our country, and it's really scary and frightening to think of what the next steps are in this story.
And what does an incident like this say about current state of politics?
Well, listen, we have seen a rise in division in our country in the political debate. We've also seen a rise in domestic terrorism in our country over the past decade. Mostly that has manifested in white supremacist acts of violence targeting minority communities in places like Charleston, South Carolina, and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Buffalo, New York. But we have also seen rising levels of far-left violence targeting largely political figures. I'm reminded of the June 2017 shooting that targeted the Republican practice for the annual congressional baseball game, where you almost had a massacre of Republicans in Congress. Far-left extremists have typically targeted political figures. Now, I am, of course, assuming that is the motivation here. We don't have that answer just yet. But if this is somebody motivated by far-left ideologies and is targeting President Trump for those reasons, that would fit the historical pattern of what we've seen from the far-left over the course of the past decade or so.
And obviously, since the news broke, a lot of... let's say conspiracy theories and all various types of theories have emerged on the social media. How do you comment that?
It's common in America that acts of political violence are met with conspiracy theories. This is something that strikes on both sides of the aisle. It is a really sad reflection of the extent of our division and polarization that people can't watch a video of our former president being shot at a rally without assuming that there is some dark force at play, that there is some easy explanation for it. Of course, the most recent major political act of political violence in our country, the January 6th attack on the US Capitol, was also met with conspiracy theories right away, arguing that Antifa had conducted that attack, or there was an FBI false flag. That has contributed to the narrative that those individuals are heroes, martyrs, political prisoners, warriors. It is one of our traditions in this country to react to acts of political violence where people are killed or seriously injured with conspiracy theories, with explaining it away with some simple explanation that makes your side look good and still makes the other side look demonic. It is a really sad state of affairs in our country today that has been the reaction. On the other side, on the other hand, I think there's been quite a positive reaction among political leaders on the left. President Biden and former President Obama, Vice President Harris immediately have condemned this violence in ways that we haven't always seen after recent acts of political violence in this country. We really need to lower the temperature in our nation urgently. And that will come from political figures making responsible, measured statements of condemnation after incidents like this.
And are you afraid maybe that this will, this incident will be, will affect the future campaign and maybe incite even more violence?
That will be the fear. I have argued elsewhere that we are very likely to see political violence across the spectrum in this election cycle. Obviously, this is the most serious incident so far, but I don't think there's any reason to believe that this will be the last violence that we see. Now, a lot of that's going to depend on the identity of the perpetrator, the reasoning behind the attack, how he or they arrived at this location, how they received their firearms. That's going to determine a lot of the reaction now and a lot of the next steps. But in my expert opinion, I don't see a single reason why you believe that this is the end of the political violence in this cycle, as opposed to the beginning or the middle. We are in a very frightening moment in our country right now. And this is a real thunderbolt in our country. And I'm not quite sure what our country looks like waking up tomorrow after an incident like this.
And tell me, do you think this shooting can influence the outcome of the November elections?
Certainly, in a horribly ironic way, this is going to be a real boost for the Trump campaign. Already the pictures that have emerged of him reacting to it in the moment are very powerful. This is going to be a rhetorical boost for the movement that he runs, because they're basically going to declare that dark forces in America have determined that the only way to stop the Trump train, the Trump machine, is through violence. And that is going to be a very powerful force in turning people out to vote in this campaign and vote for him. I should note as well, as I'm sure you know, that this incident occurs at a moment in our country's history where the left, the political left, is very divided. We have great uncertainty about the future of the Democratic leadership in the remainder of this campaign. And so in a horrendously, darkly ironic way, this is going to be a boost for the Trump campaign. And I think those of us who are analysts on this have to be able to see that in a clear-eyed way while also recognizing what a horrible day this is for him, for his family, and really send our thoughts to them, because this is a horrendous thing that's happened to their family, and it should never, ever happen in a democracy.
The Council on Foreign Relations, Jacob Ware, speaking to my colleague in the Serbian service, Marko Protic. We have additional and ongoing coverage at voanews.com, as well as on our social media platforms, and more analysis on Monday's International Edition. Until then, I'm Steve Miller.